Okay, so there are many mashalim that I've heard myself about what happens after a person passes away after 120. Obviously, we don't really know what happens. No one has really been there and come back and tell us what happens. But there are a number of mashalim that people share as to what happens when you get up there. So one mashal that I've heard, which is probably the most powerful, and I should think about it more often, but we'll share it tonight, and that's the following. You get up to Shemayim after 120, Hashem welcomes you in. Hey, nice to see you. It's been a long time. And says, hey, come sit down. So you come sit down, nice leather couch. There's a big flat screen TV in front of you. And Hashem says, come, we're gonna watch a little movie. Watch a little movie in Shemayim, that's great. That's exactly what I was looking for. You know, not the shtender that we spoke about. Not the shtender, it's the movie theater. It's great. So what do you sit down? And on that screen, it's a big movie screen. And the screen is split in the middle. And you press this play, and you have a split screen, and on both screens, the same exact video is playing. What's the video? The video is of your parents. Your parents. Wow, it's your parents. What are your parents doing? They are rushing to the hospital. Why are they rushing to the hospital? Everything okay? Yeah, you know why? Because you are about to be born. And the video is your parents rushing to the hospital. They make it there in time. Congratulations, Mazel Tov. The mother has a beautiful boy baby. Wow, it's so special. Mazel Tov, everyone's so excited. And as the video goes on both sides of the screen, the same exact thing. You are 1 month old, 2 months old, 6 months, a year old, start walking a little bit, start talking a little bit, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And as you get older, you're watching the video of your life. But what's weird is that it's not just one screen, but it's two screens playing the same exact thing. Okay? Assuming Hashem knows what he's doing, now what happens? And this is where it gets a little bit scary. At a certain point, when the video is playing, at a certain point, the two screens start to split. What do I mean they start to split? Start to show different things. For some people, it's at age 10. For some people, it's at age 15, 16. Some people maybe a little bit later. What happens is at a certain point, you're watching one screen, and you're like, yeah, I remember that. I remember doing that in high school. I remember that friend I was hanging out with. I remember doing that on that Saturday night. And that's one screen.
It's gonna show us.
And then on the other screen, on the other screen, it's you, but you don't remember that. You don't remember going there. You don't remember doing that. And as life goes forward, again, one side of the screen you totally recognize. Yeah, I worked there and I got married and I had those children and I grew up in this, I brought my family up in this place and I had grandchildren. But and the other one's like, who is that? I noticed my face. I look the same. I look the same. But who's the family? Who's that woman? That who are those children? So Hashem, what's going on? The video ends, right? Last day of your life, pass away. What's going on? So what does Hashem tell you? Hashem tells you the following. He says, on the left side of the screen, which is the screen that you recognized, that was the life that you lived. And on the right side of the screen is the life that you could have lived. At a certain point in your life, you started veering off from the life that you were supposed to live. And some say that's Gehenna. Gehenna is when you see what you could have accomplished in this world. And when you recognize that you missed out on certain opportunities of growth, that you missed out on what life really could have been, that is Gehenna. Because you didn't live the life that you were supposed to live. Now I hope that for everyone sitting in this room that doesn't happen. I hope, and myself also, that when we get to Shemayim, Hashem doesn't even need a split screen, because guess what? Both sides of the screen are exactly the same. But unfortunately, for many other people, it's not going to be the same. And that pain of realizing, recognizing, wow, I really could have lived that happy lifestyle, I really could have married that woman, had those children, brought them in this community, a wholesome environment, connected to Torah, connected to mitzvos, that life seems so much better. And yet, I missed out on an opportunity. And the saddest thing is that, guess what? You can't go back down, at least in your body, and you can't go back down and fix it. I want to share with you a couple of words. The word potential is thrown out often at parent-teacher conferences, or whatever you call it in your schools. You have the parents coming to speak to the teacher. And if there's nothing good to say about the kid, what does the teacher say? The kid has potential, right? Oh, he has potential.
I was that kid, and my dad took that seriously. That I have potential.
Oh.
So I would get screamed at like two, three times.
That's
like,
why
I have potential.
That's why at my school we have parent-teacher-student conferences.
Ooh. Student oh, there we go. So you're a little different. So that word is thrown around. Person's not doing the best, but you want to say something kind of nice. He has potential. He could be something. Eventually, maybe he'll grow into something. Right now, we don't really see it, but eventually. Now, that shouldn't be the case. Potential is something that really is real and something that each and every one of us, including myself, needs to take seriously. That we all have an individual, that we are supposed to be in this world. God didn't just bring us down here for nothing. There's a purpose for every single person sitting here. And I'll share with you another scary thought, and that is that from the time of creation until the end of the world, there will never be and has never been a person exactly like you. No one that's looked like you, and no one that's had your qualities, which means that Hashem expects something different from each and every one of us sitting here. We're not like the person sitting next to us. We may have went to the same school and grown up in the same community and are in the same yeshiva, but intrinsically we're different. Which means that if you are alive, you're breathing at this second, that means that Hashem expects something from you that He has never, ever expected from anyone else in creation and will never expect from anyone else. Which is a little bit scary. Which means we all have something that we need to contribute to this world. And the sad thing is, if we don't, then who's going to do it? Hashem brought you here to a specific time period, into a specific family, and brought us to this special yeshiva for a reason. There's something that we can contribute, something we can learn from this year to recognize. There's something that I can contribute to this world. I'm not just talking about that you're going to be a great doctor. I'm not just talking about you're going to be a great businessman or even a great Rebbe. That's not what I'm talking about. There's something spiritual that you can add to this world, whether it's through tefillah or tzedakah or Torah in some unique way. And it's our mission to try to figure that out. Why am I speaking about this tonight? It's a good message always. But we're finishing right now the parshas of Avram Avinu. Avram is about to pass away. We all know that Avram was tested with 10 tests. At least 10 that we know of. There are famous tests. The question is why? Why was Avram tested with these tests? Why is that? Again, Avram Avinu, he's a paradigmatic Jew. He basically started our religion. Why? Why the tests? So I think don't necessarily understand what a test is. Unfortunately, when we encounter a test in our life, a trouble, a difficulty, we assume that difficulty is something we have to push to the side and move on with, and move on with our lives. We have to realize that difficulty actually is there to propel us forward. We have to overcome it. It's there to propel us forward. That's why, guys, in Hebrew, what's the word for a test? Good. What's the shorish of the word? Nace. What does nace mean? We say, Nisan nace. Okay, it can be miracle. But in Shemoneh Esrei, you say what? Zekabah Shavar Gadolcha Nisan nace. Put a banner. You know why? Because when you overcome your struggles, you raise up yourself. You raise yourself up. The Torah, when the Torah speaks to Avram, when the Maaf speaks to Avram, the Maaf says to Avram, Avraham, Avraham. Why say the name twice? Avram knows his name. Why do you say Avraham? You know why? Because there's an Avraham up there, and there's an Avraham down here. There's a picture in Shemaim of an Avraham, who Avraham is supposed to be, and there's an Avraham down here. And the Maaseh saying, Avraham, you need to be like that Avraham up there. Through the 10 tests, Avraham slowly started getting closer and closer to that image in Shemaim of that Avraham. And no matter what your name is, everyone here has that, even if your name's not Avraham. Everyone, there's an image in Shemaim of what we are supposed to be at the end of 120. And then there's the image we have down here. At the end, they're supposed to meet. We're supposed to have not a split screen. It's supposed to be one screen. And as Avram continued to live his life, he was getting closer and closer and closer to fulfilling his potential. And at the end of his life, we assume that the Avram up there and the Avram down here became one. Which is why I think that when we all have challenges, no matter what challenge you have, you don't wake up for chakras, you don't like learning, you're struggling with this, that's Hashem saying that to you, not so that again you can just push it by and move forward. No, it's there because that's going to help us grow. And if a person has this goal in mind, I want to make sure that when I leave this world, I've accomplished what I'm supposed to accomplish, view those challenges as things are going to propel us, nace, it's going to bring us up, it's going to raise us up to a higher level. Use those to bring yourself forward. They tell a great story. Maybe some of us have heard of the Nitziv. Okay, the Nitziv was a very big rabbi. He was Rosh Yeshiva, and probably the biggest yeshiva at the time, called the Volozhin Yeshiva. As I'm sure you've all heard, the Volozhin Yeshiva. All the yeshivos that we have nowadays originated in that yeshiva, because all of their students eventually became their own Rosh Yeshiva, and they started all the yeshivas that we have today. You can basically trace any rabbi today who's leading a yeshiva back to the Velazhen yeshiva. Nitziv was a huge gadol, huge gadol. He wrote many sfarim. After he wrote one of his sfarim, which is a very difficult sefer to write, he gathered a group of his students, his family together, and he wanted to tell him something. What do you want to tell him? It says like this. When I was a young boy, when I was 11 years old, he says, I was not the smartest kid in my class. By far, I was very lazy. This is what the Nitziv says about himself. He says, I was very lazy. And he says, what happened when I was 11 years old? One day I come home from school, and I hear that my parents are talking. What are they talking about? I overhear them saying that they spoke to a teacher of mine. And the teacher said, listen, he's 11 years old, and nothing's really going to come out of him in terms of Torah. Nothing really special. And you know what? I think it would make sense to send him to trade school already. At this age, back in the day, kids would start working when they're 13, 14 years old, 11 years old. Let's take him out of yeshiva and let's send him off to be a shoemaker. So Nitziv is upstairs. He overhears his parents speaking and he rushes downstairs crying. He's crying. They didn't call him the Nitziv, but all right, Nitziv, why are you crying? He says, I overheard what you were saying. And listen, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up on time for Shacharis. I'm going to daven well. And I'm really going to put an effort to be a good student. And I'm going to show you, my friends, that I really could do it. And I could be the best Talmid Chacham that I could be. And he claims, when he was speaking to his students at that siyum for writing his sefer, that from that day forward, he really pushed himself in Torah and pushed himself to become a Nitziv. And what did he tell us? Listen to this. What did he tell his students? He said, what would have happened if I wouldn't have pushed myself from that point? You know what would have happened? I probably would have been a nice shoemaker. An honest shoemaker. It's not a bad living. An honest shoemaker. What would have happened then when I got to Shemayim? You'd have this guy, Naftali Tzvi, would come up to Shemayim, the Nitziv. He wouldn't be called the Nitziv. He'd call Naftali Tzvi. And God would say to him, listen to what God would say to him. He'd say, hey, Naftali Tzvi, where is your Hamek Shela? That's one of the Svarim he wrote. Where is your Meshav Davar? Another sefer that he wrote. Where are the thousands upon thousands of students that you've had? He's like, what in the world are you talking about? He's like, I made shoes. I was a shoemaker. What do you mean? I don't even know what these farm are. Talmidim. I left the shoe when I was 11 years old. What are you talking about? He said, Naftali Tzvi, you don't recognize what you could have been. You don't recognize. You could have built one of the greatest yeshivas ever in our history. You don't realize all the svarim that today, you go into the base manager, I'll show you guys all the svarim of the Nitziv. Where are those svarim? So the Nitziv turns to Talmidim and says, every single one of you have to recognize, not everyone here has to be the biggest Rosh Yeshiva. That's not what I'm trying to say here. What I'm trying to say is, though, that everyone has to find what their tafkid is. What is your role in this world? Why are you here? And try to fulfill that potential. It takes time. But a person needs to make sure he's taking advantage of opportunities here in Yeshiva to do that. Be at Seder. Be at Davening. Be at Shabbos. Slowly, slowly, a person who starts to invest himself in Yeshiva, then he says, hey, you know what? Actually, I'm pretty good in this area of learning. Or you know what? I really connect to this area of chesed. Or I connect to this way of davening. And then hopefully, my bracha to myself and for those who are sitting here, is that we all get to have Shemayim. We don't have the double screen. We have that one screen where the person we were and the person that we were supposed to be are one. Okay, guys? Have a great Shabbos. And we'll all head out to the panel.